developing new curricula and standards for students so that, you know, the technology trends, you know, parallelism now, but other things as they develop, are sort of brought into the curricula in a timely manner so that we don't have this constant catch-up by the education departments on how, on what technology is coming out and what programmers and hardware designers and so on should be aware of.
Who wants to answer? You?
I'm happy to say that New Zealand has plenty of parallel computing in the curriculum already, and that as much catching up as may be needed with everything around the world in parallel computing, New Zealand has a great start in it. I know that Massey's got a parallel computing group, a distributed computing group. Victoria University with Dr. John Hine is running lots of parallel computing stuff. Of course, University of Canterbury with Blue Fern, they've got it rocking. We've got lots of companies around here who are taking advantage of parallel computing processing. New Zealand Supercomputer Center hires out their time. You can do computing on demand as needed. So I think there's enough momentum there. We just need to keep groups like this going to keep the momentum going, to make them realize it is important to keep it going.
Let me ask, yes, but before that, because I know that you will, I want to ask Timo, what's Germany doing?
First, I want to add one little thing. I think it was Mr. Sutter from Microsoft who was writing a text about the free lunch is over. It was a couple of years ago. Herb Sutter, correct? And it's still the truth. Google it, read it, enjoy it. It's the text which says what you have to do. And we have not done our homework within the last couple of years. Because he was saying that we will end up like that. It happened. And I'm advocating to carry on like that, keeping people educated. Also, I think a lot of the professors have the problem that they don't understand the fundamental things about parallel programming because it is so hard to get right. They have not learned it at university, and so they would have to learn it by themselves. They are probably too lazy, I don't know. So we're stuck at some point because hardware's there, and we are running into a blind alley if we don't react on the software side, no matter how we do it, either by automatically doing it or doing it in the application. So we just have to do it in some way. Yes.
My thought on your question was universities haven't really picked up on teaching parallelism properly yet, and it strikes me as if an electric drill was invented and all workshops are refusing to learn that black magic kind of thing. So they're very, very slow at taking up. They buy the hardware and they're not using it, and they even buy Blue Fern in Canterbury. And I have my thoughts about that as well, because University of Canterbury there is enforcing that their users start learning how to parallel compute themselves, because they don't have enough support staff to do it for them. So that's unfortunate. It's a bit of an unfortunate situation initially, which turns out to be a benefit because now they have a proper parallel computing teaching program there. There's one more thing that came to my mind, which was prevalent all of the day. Seems to me that when it comes to thinking parallel, I had always that analogy in my head all day today, because we heard about Erlang and C with building blocks and Haskell and Mercury and all these different language approaches. I thought that to start thinking in something properly, you need to have the vocabulary. And basically, as Orwell said it, you know, if they remove vocabulary, then you can't think about it. And that's exactly it. I think that's why I like the threading building blocks so much, because they're a language feature, so you can start thinking about it. So, yeah, that's just something I wanted to it seems to me like a discussion about what language to use and what vocabulary to use.
Yep. Yes, but before that, may I take a question from the floor?
I don't know if this is so much of a question as just of a comment. I was talking with him earlier today. I'm not an academician. You know, I work for a business, and I think what you guys are talking about is flows from the business, flows from the fact that businesses are inherently conservative, that they've got a lot of money invested in Java or C Sharp or .NET or C or whatever it is that they've done in, that business processes are really, let's face it, 90% of it is read some data from the database, stick it in front of a user, and let them change it and save it back. I mean, that's basically it. So probably what's happening is that the because the businesses have not adopted these new languages, the schools don't feel the need to teach them, and they instead feel the need to educate these children to get jobs, which means they're going to have to learn Java or C Sharp or whatever. And, you know, and I don't know how you're going to break that cycle, but maybe your approach should be to go from the other end, go to the businesses, convince them to use the other languages, and then the whole education system will follow.
I think that it's a yes for business.
just a small note on that one. I think we see currently a quite steep take-up of functional languages. Even Microsoft is trying to push out F#, and so there is quite a move towards functional programming in the moment. Functional programming has been around for a long time, really long time, but it's only in the last couple of years that it really gained the traction it probably needs to throw over lots of those concepts that we've been with the last 20 years. And just think in that slightly odd manner of programming functional, and just get past this fear that we have to do something new. There are plenty of choices of functional programming languages around in the moment, and there are currently some that are trying to settle into established markets, like we have with Scala or with Clojure. And they all try to address this very same problem. We try to have one big thing that we try to deploy on an even bigger thing. The problem is that bigger thing doesn't really scale. And functional programming gives you a wonderful way to actually scale things really, really granular.
Small business which operates in Wellington, which is not what I call a huge market. So are you selling parallel programming to customers?
Indirectly, yes, sure.
Okay.
My stack uses Erlang quite a bit, and so I indirectly sell services via functional programming. And major telcos use functional programming for their telephone switching. Erlang has been around for about, commercially, more than 10 years, and is switching some of the largest telephone switches. So there is a lot of functional programming around that is actually used in real life usage, and there is a lot of Erlang that is emerging a lot around places, especially around among younger companies like Facebook use it, Yahoo uses it quite a bit. They all notice that with traditional programming models, they're hitting a dead end that they can get around really easy. I don't say that it's impossible to get around those edges without traditional programming models. Only the effort is so much higher. If you program in a functional way, the effort is really, really low to get around all those scalability issues.
And James, that you have a little bit bigger market than Lens. What's your thoughts about trying to, like the question of the gentleman about, okay, why would he buy your TBB book?
Why would you buy my TBB book? It's great.
Okay, let's give it for free. Okay, here you are.
Oh, now there goes my royalty. You know, Part of me wonders if the problem with teaching isn't so much what we need to teach as what we need to stop teaching. In fact, one of the speakers earlier today was talking and showed step one, step two. What was open the doors and then fire the missile or something like that? Do them in the right order. Well, we all think of programming as a sequential step one, two, three. We teach it that way thoroughly, and that really is not the way to write an effective parallel program. And if you think, but we teach that, and that's one of my fears. How old should I say I am? When I learned programming, professors were horrified when we came to the university because most of us were programming in BASIC. Thanks to Bill Gates and others, we BASIC was the first programming language a lot of people had, and they said we need to unprogram you. We need to undo that. It would be better if you hadn't learned anything. And I think with parallelism, it's like that a lot. We teach all these things. Parallelism is intuitive. If there had been a queue of 200 people downstairs checking in at registration when you showed up behind one person, I don't think any of you would have thought, oh, darn. You would have thought something like, that there's no solution. You would have thought, oh, why don't they open up some more people? That's parallelism. We see parallelism. We use it in our everyday life all the time, and it stumps me how to put my finger exactly on what we're teaching wrong, but we are definitely teaching programmers things that cause them to go down a path and not be able to think about parallelism as easily as they could have if we had taught them differently. Oh, this is resonating. That yesterday I was up in Auckland talking to a group, and someone asked me a question, and they liked my answer, even though it was a useless answer. The answer was, why haven't functional programming languages taken off? And I said, I don't know. It seems to be hard for people to learn them in mass way, and I don't know, and I'd love if anybody has an idea of how to explain why they haven't. Maybe the hardware hasn't existed, if that would say if they're going to take off now. I think they're wonderful, but darn if I can get anyone, enough people to use them,
Because it's raised. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. I don't know. Okay.
Maybe you are the first.
Yes.
You are, eh?
We'll all talk at the same time. Just a couple of really quick thoughts. My first processor I ever did any programming on was an 8051 in a 68 HC11 in an embedded context. And one of the things this is actually what I wanted to touch on, is that one of the things I realized when I started coming to parallel computing in a more conventional sense is a lot of what I was being taught I'd already learned about, because you got used to locking sort of issues with your interrupt service routines and this kind of thing. So as an embedded program, you tended to have some sense of not necessarily true parallel execution, but at least some of the general issues that apply. There is also that side benefit coming from an embedded background. I think you naturally tend to think efficiently in terms of your coding. One of the things that's interesting.
It's a question there.
No, there isn't a question. Just a couple of real quick observations. But one of the things I think may help us in the parallel computing field is the increasing interest in things like embedded platforms like Arduino, which I've got some involvement with. So we've now got a whole generation of kids coming along who are interested in writing efficient code again, and hopefully we'll get things coming out of that.
I'm sorry, I would suggest that all of you guys first talk, and then maybe they start to give condensed answers, because if you come and go, then maybe we need to leave the room in half an hour.
Sorry, that was all I want to say. Embedded may yet help us.
And I think that it's much more valuable that the floor shares. So... he's beside you.
You touched briefly on changing the way education is being done in the moment with Java and et cetera. That's a much bigger problem than just parallelization. There is people with a couple of years more education who are still missing things that are incredibly basic. People who are finishing degrees without having a clue what they're doing. Is there anything obvious we can be doing about this? I know it is kind of off topic, but... Yeah, but I get ignored on that one.
Sometimes when I want to do jobs at home, maybe it's compressing a large file, or maybe it's making a download go faster or something like that, and I think this is something that you can parallelize. I want to use a lookalls on my CPU or something like that. I use make minus J to do parallelism. Am I mad? To use make minus J to do parallelism, am I doing it wrong? Is there a better way to do it than doing something on the command line with a make file? But what can I use instead of make to do parallelism? Quick and dirty. Not just compiling, maybe it's compressing a file and using all the cores on your PC. Yep. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, I just want to make some comments about teaching parallel computing, share my little experience with it. It seems everybody here is very optimistic regarding parallel computing, and I'm going to throw a little bit noise here based on my experience. Especially parallel computing, I think it's very diversified, and actually they could be carried out at different levels. As you said, even make file, they can be parallelized. And we can also do parallelization at the architecture level, at the instruction level. Compiler can also do it, can help with it. And the runtime, we have a library that can support it. even high-level language, like functional language or Java, they can even support it. So given this kind of versatile, I think teaching parallel computing is really challenging. Recently, I discussed with my colleague regarding teaching a new paper on parallel computing, and I mentioned a few common platforms like TPP, Silk, OpenMP, MPI, and languages like OCaml or Erlang. But those sort of things, I just list maybe 6 or 7. My colleague said the paper, we only have 13 weeks, and each week we have just 2 lectures. So for each item, we need probably 2 weeks to teach. And then regarding those platforms, we need 13 weeks to teach parallel computing. But without any particular platform, we can't teach parallel computing, because there is no ground if we don't teach any platform without any platform to implement the algorithm. So the issue is really about, do we really can have a kind of standard for parallel computing? Or
maybe it's the time for open education to
take a kind of standard. But given that we have versatile hardware and we have versatile software, and it's very hard to standardize. And even if the hardware keep changing and keep have its own optimization, the software have to adapt to it, and we all have to, one problem can be solved in one platform very well, but if we move to another one, it doesn't work.
I will ask to pass to Benjamin.
Yeah, so that's basically my comments about it.
Yep, and then it will be back to the panel.
Okay, I'm going to hopefully leave. It's just a couple of thoughts I had. One is, you're talking about the problem of education and teaching parallel programming. and the fact that we don't know how to do it or we don't do it. However, in the class next door, in most of the same universities, they teach hardware design. And they teach VHDL and they teach Verilog, which is essentially non-sequential languages. So maybe there is here crossover to look at, and the fact that there is people who know how to teach parallelism in a language, except that ends up being translated into hardware, but it doesn't necessarily have to. And another thought I wanted to react to you. I know why you said that, because you come from a functional programming model, and you said, the solution is to have the compiler solve the problem. And I think we're touching a bit on his comment as well about all those legends of Java programmers who can only produce bloat, is that, and that way I disagree with you, is you have to understand what your tool does. To make effective use of a tool, whether it's a good functional programming language, whether it's going to be Java, whether it's going to be anything, you have to understand what it does to make effective use of it. And we back to the division, but just a couple of thoughts.
So now we come back to the panel, and pretty much we have three things here, and one is, okay, there is a need for parallelism, yes. Now there is a need for teaching, and there are different levels. So I always remember 30 years ago when I was teaching mathematics, something really nice and easy to sell for students that are hormonally active. So, and then I did that for a couple of decades until becoming whatever I am now. And it's exactly hard to sell. There needs to be a need and an application, but at the end of the day, it needs to be people passionate about selling a part of the need. And someone said about, okay, we are just adding more and more. And that sounds to me like even a contract or a standard form that you fill for the government. Someone creates one form, and then year after year, they modify it. They just add new and new clauses. They never review from the very beginning if the basic concept is right. So there are many options. You enter to teach in university. Why not in high school? Why not in primary school? Because the examples are the traditional contract example about having new women having one baby or something like that. You know what I'm talking about. It's that essential to change the mind for that? And the final point is, are we especially positioned in Australia, New Zealand to have some sort of opportunity here? And why and this is absolutely a personal opinion, I strongly believe, and you see the diversity of the panel, it's as an open society, as an innovative country, as really well-prepared people, wouldn't be easier to start something from here. So that's just my selfish opportunity by owning the making. So who wants to continue? We still have time. Okay.
You know me, I always have an opinion. I think the reason that I say compilers can't solve the problem is because I think of the way that we program today, and algorithmic transforms compilers can't do. You don't write a bubble sort, feed it into the compiler, and out pops a quick sort. That's good. Maybe someday we'll write that, but that's going to be really bad for programmers. We won't need them anymore. Our value add is that imagination, that design, so forth. But the comment that Anwar put in his blog a few years ago, about only 1% of programmers can program parallelism, that was an observation about today, how many people really feel that they're parallel programmers and understand all the concepts. But you know what, if you go back 3 decades or so, very few people knew how to program computers. Programming computers today in Java is nothing like punching out a card deck in assembly language for the early machine.